in verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Some of you are saying, hold on a minute, Gordon, you were speaking in your I'm All In series on a surrendered song last week. How come you're now starting with another passage about worship? Are you got another point that you've come up with that you want to include in the service this week? Actually, no. This is actually a wee transition verse, because some of the translations have got worship the Lord with gladness, but others have got serve the Lord with gladness. Smiling faces now, church. Yeah, we're worshiping and we're serving. All that we do and all that we can becomes service to the Lord. You know, there are four types of service that you remember. A short one and a long one. We'll see how we do with this one in terms of church. And also good service and bad service. Whether it's in a shop, whether it's a restaurant, or an encounter with somebody where they're supposed to be helping you, supposed to be doing something that's going to enhance your life, enhance your experience, you remember when it's really, really good, and they're falling over themselves just to help you, and you also remember when their service is, well, it's rank, rife, and rotten. You know, we're almost inside, you're like, I'm going to have a word. I'm going to say something, and you know, and those that you're with are kind of holding you like that, saying, oh, don't bother, and you're like, argh. We're called to serve the Lord with gladness. Who's glad? Half of you. Who's serving? Yeah. Who's serving with gladness? Let's see what we can do at the end of our time together. This morning, I want to give you and leave you with seven reasons why you're not to miss out in having a surrendered serve. The series that we're looking at the moment is this thing of I'm all in, of being wholehearted in terms of being whole in our heart, but also wholehearted in our effort, in our actions, in our attitude towards the things of God. And we've looked at different variations of that, and today we're looking at what it is to have a surrendered serve. And the first reason that I want to encourage you with today is to why you need to have a surrendered serve, why you need to serve the Lord with gladness. And you know what? It only takes two commodities, time and a smile. Practice now. Time and a smile. You know, other things can be taught. Other skills can be developed and worked on. But the starting point is that you're willing to commit your time and you're willing to commit your smile. You know, because serve the Lord with gladness. There's no point being doer when you've got the joy of the Lord in your heart. I mean, it might be deep joy. It's so hidden that nobody can see it. But it's supposed to come out. Serving Jesus is supposed to be a happy thing, a good thing, a joyful thing. Whoop, whoop. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. The first reason why you don't want to miss out in having a surrendered serve and being all in is because Jesus modeled it. And the world needs it. Jesus modeled it, and the world needs it. We read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 that your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Even became obedient to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus took upon himself the very nature of a servant. Your attitude, my attitude, should be the same of Christ Jesus. Let me ask you to rewind the last 7 days in your mind right now. How's it been? How's it been having an attitude that's the same as Christ Jesus? You're like, yeah, it's good, it's brilliant. Oh man, that was a struggle, but you know, I got there. Or do you know what? I crashed and burned spectacularly. Well, do you know what? Today is a new day. Today is a fresh opportunity, church. Today is your moment to leap into this, to say, from this moment on, my attitude is going to be the same as Christ Jesus, who took upon the very form and the nature of a servant. Can I hear a hearty amen to that as well? See, this is sacrificial. This is surrendered serving. This is the nature and the core of serving, of laying aside, of making yourself nothing, which means going lower for somebody else is going higher, of humbling yourself, of being obedient, even to death. Now, the things that we will probably have to die to is most likely ourself rather than physically dying. Die to our wants, our choices, the things that we would maybe like to do, like watching the football, doing your knitting, baking a cake, playing Candy Crush, being on the computer for a little longer, or whatever it may be that might take up your time, because you know what it's like. You've got the tug of the Holy Spirit giving it. Come on, come on. Why don't you go? Why don't you help? Why don't you get involved? Why don't you? And at the same time, but I'm tired. I want to do this. I'm just going to sit here for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is. We've got not just a challenge from Scripture that our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, but we've got the example of Scripture. You see, in John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, as part of this Last Supper, before Jesus is going to be handed over, Jesus is going to be betrayed, Jesus is going to be beaten, he's going to be whipped, he's going to be tried, he's going to be crucified and placed in a tomb, dying for the sin of the world. At the start of that evening, on that Thursday night, the disciples are gathered. It's a special time. It's Passover. It's celebrating the time when the nation of Israel historically experienced God's rescue from out of exile and slavery into a place of freedom in the promised land. And when they're all gathered together, Jesus goes and gets a bowl of water. He goes and gets a towel. He takes off his outer garment and he begins to almost, take the towel and he kind of wraps it round his waist. And he bows in his knee, and he goes to each and every one of the disciples, and he does the thing that the lowest of the low in the house would do, that the youngest servant boy would do, that he washes their feet. And the Bible says in John 13 that Jesus showed them the full extent of his love by taking upon himself the servant boy status and doing the lowest of the low jobs. Even washing the feet of Judas, who was about to betray him, who was about to side with the opposition, who was about to play his key role in handing Jesus over to be crucified. And you know what? Our greatest challenge, our greatest opportunity, our greatest calling as disciples of Jesus is to do is to follow the leader. You know that game that kids play? You know, the leader does an action. No, we won't do it. You're all right. You know, put hands on the shoulders and everybody does it. You know, some would do it with Simon Says, and when Simon doesn't say, then you're out if it's a game like that. But doing those actions, our greatest challenge, our greatest call as believers is to follow the example of our leader, to follow the example of Jesus. How are you doing with your attitude and how are you doing with your action? How are you doing with I'm all in? How are you doing with your surrendered serve? How are you doing with your worship and serving the Lord with gladness? See, there are opportunities that are all around us to engage with those who have needs. Serving takes lots of different forms. There are lots of different opportunities, but the principles are exactly the same. It's you saying, I am going to invest in you and into your situation just to make it and you better. And it might be investing time, skills, knowledge, items or goods to give somebody. It brightens somebody's day. It helps them out. It meets a need. It can be church-based and community-focused. In fact, in Matthew chapter 12, we read of Jesus. And he's been challenged as the Lord of the Sabbath portion in Matthew chapter 12. And he's healed somebody. Jesus has healed somebody on a Sabbath, and it's upset the religious and established the establishment, the religious rulers of the day. And the passage that's there under God's chosen servant, in verse 15 of Matthew chapters 12, it says, aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell them who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my chosen servant, whom I have chosen, the one I love, the one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. From centuries before Jesus came, his position as the servant leader was already marked out almost as a template for ministry. And I want to suggest to you, church, if you're looking for a template for ministry, that you can get it here from Matthew chapter 12 and from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 4. A model for godly service, because Jesus modeled it, and therefore we should too. Of resting out of that place is that he was chosen, that he was loved, and experience the delight of the Father. That's a great place to start off your service from. You know, God, we don't earn brownie points from God by doing more or working harder, because he already loves us completely. He's already demonstrated the extent and the extravagance of his love towards us, and that he's given his very, very best, his Son, our Savior, Jesus. So it's not about working harder, trying to get more ticks on our Bible or get a good report card. Our report card is an A+, A star, happy smiley face anyway, because Father God chooses to remember my sin no more, because I stand complete in the righteousness of Christ. So our service isn't about saying, God, here I am, look at what I'm doing, I'm a good, look at me, look at this, isn't this brilliant? Our service doesn't start from there. Our service starts from the fact that our Father God delights in us, that he loves us. And therefore, it's not about doing to get God's attention. Anything that we do is an act of worship, as Psalm 100 says. Because worship isn't just about singing. Worship is giving glory to God through all of our life, through everything that we can do, anything that we can be involved in, whether it's our work, our relationships, it's our ministries, and they're all interlaced, and everything is ministry because it's done unto God. But the template for our servant is that we start from the point that God chooses us. We start from the point that we are loved by God and that he delights in us. Beyond that, it says there, I will put my spirit on him. God empowers you to serve. It means you can't complain about, I'm too tired, because he'll refresh you. He'll strengthen you. He'll empower you to be able to do it. But to know that heaven wants to help you in your service. And if you're struggling to serve, you're struggling for ways to serve the Lord, say, Holy Spirit, would you rest on my life? But Holy Spirit, would you open up some ways to serve? He'll proclaim justice to the nations. He models the right thing to do. Be involved in justice. If you see injustice as a son, as a daughter of God, you've got responsibility to say, that's not right. Wherever it may be, whatever it may look like. Proclaim justice, God's justice to the nations. Says there, he will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. So that template for service is no complaining when times are tough, when there's no reward, when nobody's seeing it, and all your actions would almost go unnoticed. Why? Because God misses nothing. And if it's all about getting the accolades from man, then it's not about God seeing it. It's about folks saying, man, aren't they doing well? It's about God. And not even so that God sees, about honoring God and what you're doing. It builds up damaged people. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. This template for service believes in those who have stopped believing in themselves. Those who feel as though that their life is so bruised that it's about to be broken, just be snapped and thrown in the heap. Those that serve the Lord see the beauty, see the possibility, see the God who restores an individual's life before they experience it themselves.
that point where the flame of the fire of God is almost extinguished in their life. That flame of hope is almost just like a dying out with the smoke beginning to go. Said, you know what? I'm going to blow on that. I'm going to see some Holy Spirit fire. You know, when you blow on the embers, I've spoken about how I like doing that. If we've got the chimney going in the back garden, just as it's dying down, I'll get down on my knees and I'll be, because I'm good at the hot air. And all of a sudden, that'll ignite in flat fire again. Our attitude should be like that of Christ Jesus. Serving the Lord with gladness, seeing those opportunities, resting in that place of I'm chosen, I'm loved, and Father delights in me, the Holy Spirit rests on my life. I'm going to believe in those who have stopped believing in themselves. I'm going to refuse to let evil, greed, or injustice win. Why? Because we serve an unstoppable God. We serve an unstoppable kingdom. And His cause is worth investing our life in. Why? Because the Son of God invested His life in us. Good amen, church. Father God looks for a cause and a champion to get behind, to be able to invest your life in. A cause, a champion, but another C, a commitment. Commitment is required. You see, serving is simple, but serving is costly. Anybody know that? It's a need for us to take the initiative, because often the hopeless feel helpless. Second reason, that's probably the biggest one we're going to dwell on there, is Jesus modeled it and the world needs it. Second reason why we need to be all in and we all need to be having a surrendered service, because when we serve, it reminds us that the world doesn't revolve around me. Now that may be difficult to take in, difficult to understand, and may come as a revelation to maybe some of us, but the world does not revolve around us. The world doesn't revolve around us. In Matthew chapter 20, there's an occasion where a mother comes to Jesus, and her boys are part of Jesus' team. And she comes sidling up to Jesus, and she says, Jesus, see, when you arrive in your kingdom, can my boys get the top position? You know, they've worked hard. They've been with you. I mean, these other guys are good, but my boys are great. Jesus, will they come into your kingdom? And Jesus says to the mother, says, whoever wants to become great amongst you or among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, they thought it was all about the position of their head, but it was actually about the posture of their heart that Jesus was more interested in. They wanted status, or their mother wanted status for them, but the invitation was to service. And the way up in the kingdom of God is down. See, the human heart is selfish, but the kingdom heart is serving and is selfless. See, Jesus modeled it. Can't get away from that, church. Jesus modeled it. To serve, to serve, to serve. To seek and save those that were lost. Service and salvation. Salvation and service. They go hand in hand. And the way that we model the difference that Jesus makes in our life is often through serving. You know, serving, number three, serving authenticates the validity of my professed spirituality. Serving authenticates the validity of my professed spirituality, or to put it in layman's terms, I'm walking the talk. What I say and what I do marry up, because this is real to me. There is no substitute for serving, but do you know what, church? Church, serving is an easy in to mission. Remember a lady that we had in Clydebank, I may have told this story once before in my former church, and she said, oh, I can never tell anybody about Jesus, but give her a teapot in her hand, give her a cup of tea to pass out to somebody, which we used to do in a shopping center, and man, she was brilliant. She could talk the hind legs off a donkey. She was really good at it. She was really good at encouraging, really good at coming alongside people who who had no hope and just listening to them. It's serving. It's serving. It's serving them, but it's serving the Lord. And she went on a journey through being too frightened to say boo to a goose and say hello to anybody, to being able to serve cups of tea, to be able to have conversations with people about church and the Lord through cups of tea, to being in the times where we would pray for the sick out in the streets. And then she got to a place and point where she felt strong enough, confident enough to be able to do that. She was walking the talk. There is no substitute church for serving. And we have a responsibility to do it to anybody and to do it for everybody. See, in Matthew chapter 25, and a portion where Jesus is talking about the end of the age, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, there's a famous passage that's there. It talks about when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, and he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right-hand side, and he'll put the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or needed clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And then the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did one for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you didn't look after me. And they will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Anybody thirsty? Just need to build. Anybody thirsty? The world craves authentic people. The world craves authentic people. Those who will walk the walk and talk the talk. Therefore, we've got a responsibility to be real. To be real about our lives, to be real about our struggles, be real about our faith, be real about the grace of God, be real about His plans, real about His purpose, be real about living the message. As Peter describes it in his letter, to be living epistles. Almost the words of Jesus written over our life, written over our actions. And there are two essentials that we need here in this point. A lived out message and a least of these mission. We need to have a lived out message where it's not just about amassing head knowledge from the scripture, but it's about putting it into practice in our day-to-day, moment-by-moment, situation-by-situation for the times where we see it coming a mile off. We can plan for it. We can sign up for it. We can be involved in those other moments that will wreck your day. Rip your diary and your schedule to tiny little pieces. But be prepared to serve. We need a lived out message, but I tell you, we need a least of mission. Can I ask you, who and where is your least of? Not to say, oh, I'm better than that person or that situation or stuff like that. Who is your least of? Where is the opportunity? Where is the situation where, as you did it for the least of these, you do it as though you're doing it for the Lord? Why? Because we worship the Lord with gladness. We serve the Lord with gladness. Have a think about that. Have a think. Ask the Holy Spirit to identify for you, where is the least of that I can bless and help and serve in the name of the Lord? Number four. How are we doing? You all right? Good. It goes against the austerity zeitgeist, the spirit of the age. We've got a spirit of the age, a prevailing attitude that's across society, government, institutions. It's all about austerity, tightening the belt, being lean in business and cutting off. And all of a sudden, that's why you're doing three jobs at work, because that post wasn't filled and that person wasn't replaced. And that atmosphere of austerity, which is actually all about withholding and not giving out. For we as the church to act in the opposite spirit and to give, to bless. Brilliant to see folks giving away hot dogs out in the streets to students that were passing by in the last 2 weeks. Well done, Luke, and the team who were able to get involved in that. It's brilliant when we do Rendezvous Cafe every second Thursday, and that'll be starting back into October. And just being able to give food free, to bless people. And to give when there's an atmosphere of taking and of withholding and of keeping in. Church, if our Father in heaven is almighty, if he is our provider, our Jehovah Jireh, then he has the resources to bless and meet the needs of our communities too. Amen. But who does he bless with the resources to meet the needs of the community? The pastor. Then we're all pastors, because we're all called to care, we're all called to serve, we're all called to minister. A priesthood of all believers, the scripture says. Are you in? Yeah, I suppose I've got to be. As we give, it's spiritual warfare, it's acting in an opposite spirit. You want to battle in the heavenly realms, you give. You want to battle and you do some spiritual warfare. You give that cup of water. You meet that need. You go and visit that person that's sick. You do whatever needs to be done. That person who's got no jacket, you give them your jacket. These resources are what and who and you. Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 10 says this: if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. Why? Because the fire of God's burning in your life. Holy Spirit, I'd forgotten that was in my notes. Holy Spirit, burning bright, you serving bright, worshiping the Lord with gladness. You spend yourself on behalf of the hungry. Satisfy the needs of the oppressed. Your light will rise in the darkness. Some of you say, oh, I live in a dark place. Street I live in, it's a dark place, not because the council's not replaced the light bulbs in the street. Because of some of the stuff that's going on. Oh, I work in a dark place, the atmosphere in it. Serve and let his light shine in your life. Be the Jesus difference in that place. Change and alter the atmosphere as you give, as you serve, as you give, as you serve, as you give, as you serve, as you worship the Lord with joy and with gladness. Number five, serving expresses the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4 speaks of a new heaven and a new earth where there's no death, there's no mourning, there's no crying, and there's no pain. In the context of Matthew 25, and the least of that we've just spoken about, it is speaking at the end of days and receiving a kingdom inheritance. And our kingdom inheritance is then, but it's also, we receive some of it now, the blessing of God in people's lives and in people's situations. Let me read to you from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ that you are serving. You model something different. You model the values of the kingdom of God. You model something of eternity as you serve one another. As we do it within the confines of church, you know, the Bible says, and Jesus said, how will they know? All men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for the other. How is that modeled? Is it modeled if you ignore somebody? No. Is it modeled if you know that somebody's got a need and you're like, ah, well, sort it out. Your problem, your mess, tidy it up. Or is it sorted? Is it modeled? Is it seen when we say, come on, I'll help you. Come on, I'll get involved. Whether that's something as easy as making a cup of tea for somebody and listening to the kind of week that they've had. whether it's helping them out with whatever need that they have, whether it's somebody who's battling addiction that you can point them in the right direction to be able to get some help to see that addiction overcome, whether it is a financial need that you're able to help and meet it, whatever it is, whether it's sweeping up and tidying up the church garden next Saturday morning. What time, Al?
9:30.
You can maybe try saying that with a lighter spirit and a lighter kind of joy in your heart. It's going to be appealing. You know, an opportunity to serve by sweeping up, by tidying up, by dealing with some leads and making the outside of the church looking even as lovely as the inside is. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart is working for the Lord. Come along Saturday morning. Number six, we're nearly done. Your serving disarms a world that is hostile to institutions and to faith. Institutions have failed people. It's one of the hallmarks of this postmodern world that we live in, the postmodern generation that we live in, is that they are wary and suspicious of institutions. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love never fails. It's the motivation behind the word and behind the action. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, serve one another with love. When you serve with love, it brings God's heart into a situation. It is not just an empty action. It is not just tokenism. It is bringing the heart of Father God, the values of the kingdom of God, into people's life. You see, compassion is not just a word, but it is also a compulsion to act. It is, back to that, the Holy Spirit. When you know you have to do something, the Holy Spirit's like, come on, we're going to the adventure. We're going to tell somebody about Jesus. We're going to do it through serving them. And it's like the Holy Spirit saying, come on, let's go. Come on, Gordon, let's go. And you're like, but I've got this to do. I've got that to do. I was going to do this, but I was busy yesterday, and I'm going to just sit down and do nothing today. And the Holy Spirit's, come on. We've got time to serve. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. And you're going to get an inheritance in heaven. We're going to do it. Do you know why? Because serving shouts when sermons speak. Serving shouts when sermons speak. People hear the gospel better where there are no words. It disarms them. The barriers come down. You have invested into their life, into their situation, for what? For nothing. Other than to bless them, to help them, to lift them, to encourage them, to sort them out, to point them in the right direction, to give you a right to speak into their life. It's often been said, actions speak louder than words. It earns you that right to speak. You see, serving opens hearts, it opens minds, and opens ears to the gospel. And the seventh one that I want to leave you with, serving confers value and hope to the have-nots and to the hopeless. Serving confers value and hope to the have-nots and the hopeless. Because when everybody else writes them off, when they write themselves off because of the circumstances, the situation they've found themselves in, you don't, because the Lord doesn't. And if he can win and buy back humanity through the death of his son Jesus, if he can cancel out sin and the effects of sin in an individual's life, he can transform, clean up, wash somebody, turn them, put them on the right path, as he's done to all of us. And do you know what? For those who can't see it, for those who don't know, for those who have never experienced the goodness and the love of God, he can do it for them, but only if people go. Only if you and I will serve. Only if you and I will meet them at their point of need. Love them, bless them, encourage them, maybe even hug them if they're a little bit dirty and a little bit smelly, whether it's physically or spiritually, and bestow the love and the grace of God into their life. Servant says, you are worth it. You haven't been forgotten. That you can be brought from that place that you find yourself in today. And back to the first one, Jesus modeled it, and the world needs it, and we're called to do it, because we weren't forgotten, because we weren't left to try and work it out ourselves, because Jesus, who had the attitude of God, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He took the very nature of that servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Maybe this week we need to die a wee bit more in order to become fully and truly alive. Maybe this week we need to have a lived out message and a least of mentality as we're looking out. In the busyness and the pace of life that we're saying, you know what, Holy Spirit, dial me down so that I can see with your eyes, so I can think with your mind, so I can love with your heart, so I can do with your hand, so I can go with your feet to convey the love of Jesus to somebody that doesn't know it, to somebody that's hurting, to somebody that has no hope, somebody that's never experienced, tasted of your love, and the opportunity to bow their knee and give their life to Jesus. You can do it. You can do it because Holy Spirit empowers you. We're going to worship the Lord with gladness, church. We're going to serve the Lord with gladness. And a very practical note, just before we pray, that on your seats there are some cards, these red and blue ones. If you only started coming to the church, they're double-sided, blue on one side, red on the other. If you only started coming to church recently, we'd love to keep in contact with you. If you'd be good enough before you leave today to fill in those details there. And if you'd like to find more about Christianity, more about the church, news and updates, helping a church team, then do that. If you want to get involved, that's the red. If you're not serving in this morning, you're feeling, you know what, I want to serve in church. I want to serve our local community. Gordon, would you help me find ways? Fill in that side, fill in the red side, and we will gladly do it. We've got lots of opportunities, including tea and coffee or water. You know, it's Matthew 25. It's just an updated version. Tea, coffee, and biscuits after the service. So if you want to find out about that, if you want to be involved, we would love for you to be involved in serving the Lord, fulfilling your call and fulfilling your destiny, but more than that, reaching out, modeling something of God's love to our church community and to our local community. Would you bow with me in prayer?